Okay. Am I here? Hello? Coming out yet? Probably shortly. Yep. Right. Okay. There we go. I guess I shouldn't wait for me to hear me. I should wait till you hear me. And that's okay, right? If I wait too long, it'll be super, super loud. So we, like I said, we've had a few guests these last couple of weeks, and we have some more coming up and some other things that are, I'll say, brewing and are exciting. And I found myself trying to, like, I'll say, kind of maybe get up a little bit higher and look at the big picture and say, all right, Lord, what are you saying to us? What are you saying? You know, where are you leading? You know, we know that there's a lot of things that God sees. There's a perspective that he has that I'm continually encouraging us to try to have, to see things as he sees them, because his ways aren't our ways. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. So we need him to do that. And these last several weeks, I'm really hoping that you've been encouraged, right? We heard from Ed McEwen a couple of weeks back, and you know, he and his family are living in Thailand, right? Working in a way that allows them to have access into the country, but they're there just to live amongst people so that they can be a testimony to them and draw them to the Lord, and to hear them have to go through some of the things that we all go through in life in different ways, but have to deal with it while overseas. And you might remember, he was basically given a pretty sweet package to leave. Okay, the mission sending society that they're involved with had to do some pullbacks, and because of his years of tenure, said, hey, if you're willing to come back, here, we're going to pay you. It was like 2 years' pay or something like it. His wife was dealing with cancer at that time, so there's all these reasons to maybe say, oh, God, that's your leading. But instead, they discerned, what was God saying to them? Okay? We can look at the circumstances, and God will often use some of those circumstances to guide us. Okay? But more than anything, you want to hear his voice. So there's Ed and Susan out there hearing God's voice. You know, and then just last week, we got to hear from Shiny Krauss. Right? Wasn't that beautiful to just hear? And if you didn't get to hear her testimony, please go on the website and you can hear her testimony of how she literally was an orphan, in some ways doubly forsaken by her mother. Right, originally given up for adoption, and then when her mother had the opportunity, we obviously don't know all the details, came and took her sister from the orphanage, but left her. And she wrestled with that, and she, you know, you heard her saying, you know, looking at herself, saying, is there something in the way I look that my mother didn't pick me, you know, when she had that opportunity? But to just hear how faithful God is, how faithfully is it that he then became not just her mother, but her father, and the father that never leaves or forsakes her. Right, won't leave her an orphan. Right, these are the promises of the scripture, and here she is, you know, from the environment that she was in, now has been through college and is a registered nurse, has a beautiful son, is married to a well-educated guy who is called to turn around and live and minister, you know, right there where people really are treated like garbage. You know, they really are. There's a part of the thinking there and some of the caste systems that say, if you were born into this, there is a reason why you're born into that. You are not worthy. You don't deserve. You don't deserve the help. Okay? But our Bible tells us that we are made in the image of God, and that in each person is infinite value worth dying for. And God proved that. He proved that. So here we got to be blessed and to hear how God is calling Shiny and Jonathan. And again, you as a church have blessed them, not just in your gifts from last week, but over the last probably 2 years or so, we've made several donations. I think probably near $10,000 that we've helped give to that ministry. You've helped give to that ministry as God's provided, and we've just tried to be good stewards of the things that he's led us to do. And then there was the week before that, where we heard from Nick Klinkenberg, right? Nick from New Zealand. I got something about these New Zealand guys. I think their accent's the best. So, he had some good jokes for us as well. But here's a guy who's been called by God, you know, to really help start churches and to help plant churches and the things that God has used him for. And he came here with an encouraging word and spoke graciously to us and had lots of suggestions and some things that we're still praying through and thinking about. And you're going to hear some of that, including, you know, I'm going to keep encouraging you all to kind of slide up. Some of you figured out I forcefully encouraged some of that today. There may be a row or two missing from the back. You know, but hey, this is our fellowship, Right? This is our fellowship. And you're going to hear. I know and I can see already some of what God's calling us to do, and I'm encouraged. But you know, I want us to get to continue to know each other. And if you remember, right, what was Nick's main exhortation to us? Somebody say it. Thank you. Henry came. Henry's back. Okay? He said, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. All right? So the main thing is to keep the main thing. And which is what? And he led us into that. It's telling others this incredible news that God wants to be in a relationship with them. He wants to know them. He wants their sins forgiven. Right? He's made a way for this to happen. He paid for it. This is the main message. This is the gospel. And really, all we're called to do is to live that out where God has you. And when the opportunity is right, you may say it. You may actually tell somebody about Jesus. But the way you live is going to draw people as well. And I'm not saying that to say you don't have to say things. Okay? But you've heard the expression that what you do speaks so loudly that what you say I can't hear. So when your actions then line up with these words, okay, that creates a receptivity in people that then they're like, wow, okay, I knew there was something different about him. I knew there was something different about her. And so we're all called to live that. And in that, you know, we heard and he encouraged us to really look at when we're talking about this main thing that here Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, you know, said, my life, it's worth nothing if I am not testifying to the gospel of God's grace, if I am not doing the main thing. And that to know that God said to all who would receive him, he would make sons of God, daughters of God, to all who would receive him. So in these weeks that are coming up, you're going to hear from Haley Shorten and somehow God's leading her to fulfill this. You're going to hear from Joe Jansen. Joe will be with us in a couple of weeks. Pastor Joe is the U.S. Ministries Director for Elam Fellowship. He comes around for us this time of year to encourage us. You might remember Michael Gerton, Pastor Mike. We call him Gertie. He'll be with us in a few weeks. He's the one who had all the props set up all over the stage. And he's gifted in his ability to communicate and use props and stuff to really teach deep spiritual truths. So, you know, Gertie has been called, and he runs 4 or 5 camps every summer and does some other things in and around itinerant ministry that just really bless the body. And he's been in ministry long enough now that he's now seeing fruit of what he literally did, you know, 20, 30 years ago, as he starts to hear, you know, some young man come up to him and say, hey, I was at a camp that you spoke at that changed my life, that put me on a trajectory that God really had for me. And because I was trying to, in a sense, uproot myself and do something unnatural and go in a bad direction. So I'm excited to have Gertie with us again. But it brings me to saying, okay, well, where are we now? Where are we now? You know, what are we doing? And it's a good question for me to ask of myself and of us as a fellowship. You know, are we keeping the main thing the main thing? And how does that show itself? How does it show itself here at New Life? And I want to say that in many ways, yes, and in many ways, but we can do more. And we can do better. And we can do other things to focus that. And one of the things that I definitely feel led of the Lord to do, and you'll see it for as long as he says to, each service, okay, each time we're together on a Sunday, as we close things out, I'm going to put out an invitation and ask people to come to the Lord if they're not. Hey, I want to create an environment where when you're here, hey, you're going to continually surrender. Our surrender is continual. We work out this salvation with fear and trembling, this sanctification process that's going on inside of us. It's not a one and done from the perspective of, you know, I prayed this prayer, now I'm going to go do whatever. Hey, we press into the Lord, and we continually press, and we need that. We have to continually wash ourselves. Yet I want to have a place where if you invited someone to church, you know that somewhere near the end of that service, we're going to invite them, if they don't know the Lord, to consider what God has done for them and this plea that he has and that he has given us this ministry of reconciliation that we are to then proclaim to others. So even today, okay, I know most of the folks who are here, not everybody, but you never know. We never know who comes in, and as we have different visitors, usually one of the first things I'm asking them is, hey, you know, how'd you find us? You know, was it on the website? Was it because somebody, you know, invited you here? And we have all kinds of different answers. A lot of folks do, you know, stumble across the website. They put in, put in the search, and they end up here. But we have this ministry to reconcile people to God. That's what he's given us. It's in 2 Corinthians 5. And so that is going to be a regular part, you know, even today. And how God, you know, actually leads each week, I'm sure will vary. It's not going to be exactly the same, but we want people to have that opportunity. So know that. And as part of your part, to think that, okay, if I invite someone to church, I know that there's going to at least be that time that they'll at least be challenged or asked to consider the claims of Christ and what their need is before God, and that they too can be reconciled to God. Amen? So you'll see that. So with 2016 coming to a close, and we finished up our study in Colossians, so I'm like, all right, Lord, what's next? Where are we going next? The holidays literally are going to be here and gone before we know it. We'll be looking into 2017 with a new president. Long pause. Yeah. And that's because you're gonna hear next week. I already know what God's stirring for next week. There's a psalm that we're gonna look at that's just gonna keep us rooted. But we'll have a new president again, should Jesus tarry. And we're gonna be asking ourselves the question, now what? Right? Because we're all gonna be wondering what's gonna happen now. Now that this person's in charge, is anything gonna change? Is everything gonna change? All right, so we're gonna find ourselves stirring with that. And this is why. I mean, the scriptures are beautiful. They tell us, you know, fix your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Okay, fix your eyes on Jesus. And we're going to hammer that one next week because I really want you guys to be, like I said, strong in the Lord. But I was asking, and I've continued to say, all right, Lord, us. Okay, we're a body. We're a part of your bride. You died for us, and you've given us some incredible resources. How can we continue to do what you're calling us to do? So there's different ways and different things that we can do. There's other ways that we partner with other people. One of the things that I was always, I don't say challenged with, but kind of thought through when I was in my younger days of being a Christian was I felt like in so many places people were reinventing the wheel because they had to put their label or their brand on it and say, okay, we're doing, you know, all this exhaustive things in our church. And then the church right next door is doing all these exhaustive things. And I thought, you know what, if those two people that were doing the same thing maybe combine their efforts a little bit, they could probably do a lot more with a lot less challenges and obstacles. So one of the things I'm discerning and I'll be challenging our leadership with is how do we say, well, what do we do and where do we partner? You know, as things grow, as there's other opportunities and other needs, there's times that, yeah, you know, there's some things that we'll need to, for convenience or for just expediency, you know, do ourselves. But there is so much good stuff out there. There are so many other good Christians. There's so many other good ministries. By no means would we be at all ever thinking that somehow, you know, if it says New Life Church on it, then we know it's good. Yeah? Uh-uh. Okay? We trust in the Lord, and his body's beautiful. We've got a lot of great things going on around us. So we're going to continue to discern that as we go. But one of the things that the Lord brought me, I'll say, back to for today, and where I really want to kind of focus us down in our time together, the rest of our time together, is three words that I guess I first started talking about them. It was back in January. I found what message I mentioned them in. And I did just briefly mention them, and I'm going to kind of enhance them a little bit. But they're kind of three words that encompass what we're going to do here, what we're going to continue to do here. They capture it. They kind of give us some places of stability. If you want to think about, okay, what does my church do? You know, who are we? And the three words are that we're going to be lovers. We're going to love God and each other. Okay, we're going to be learners. We're going to continue to learn what it means to be a disciple. And then we're also going to be a place that you can launch into what God has for you. Okay, because there is a lot of potentiality. It's infinite. It's really infinite, you know, what God has for us and wants to do in and through us. And we want to find a place and be a place that we can encourage each other to love and good deeds. Right? Isn't that what Hebrews 10 tells us? Right? And this week, you probably figured it out. You don't have notes with you. So I'll have something for you next week, probably. We'll see. So this week, I am going to have some good scripture references. So if you know how to turn pages in your Bible, you might have to do that. Okay. I'm actually going to have to do that because I didn't print them up separately. So that's why I have. That's why I'm wearing my my headgear here. So as I look down, I can find my scripture references. But God has continued to and will continue till the day he comes back, hey, have things for us to do. And we want our environment here at New Life Church and as you as an individual to say, okay, I'm madly in love with God. And if you were here on Wednesday, I appreciated what Brian Houston, you know, shared, that if you love God, you're going to love his people. You might not like them all the time, but you're going to love them, okay? If you're going to love his people, you're going to love the poor. Okay, these are things that are in God's heart. So we try to say, you know, how does this come out in our fellowship and in our life? And I'm going to, you know, give you guys some examples of things that you may or may not know that go on already with us. But it's powerful. So the first of our pillars is that we're going to love. Okay, we're going to love. And why do we love? Because God first loved us. And God is love. There's that scripture in 1 John, I think it's in chapter 4, you know, where John's exhorting us. He says, you know, when the love of God is in you, you're demonstrating who he is. And it's easy to say, and it's also a word that can very easily be glossed over in our day and age. It's flippantly used. You know, I marvel at the ways that people, you know, desire to be loved. It's innate. It's in us that we desire to be loved like that. Yet at the same time, we do things that make me scratch my head. You know, we sometimes do things that cause us to have such, you know, angst in our lives and pain that we're like, God, what is going on here? So if you say that you're a God of love, you know, why do we wrestle with some of the things that we wrestle with? And this isn't the day to get into all that, but to know that since God is love, okay, we are called to love him and to love each other. And one of the songs that we sang today, right, was with my whole heart, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. God, I want to love you. That actually comes out of Luke 10. And you guys might remember this when we were doing our studies in Luke, and if you don't, you probably just remember it because it's a familiar portion of Scripture. But it was there in Luke 10 that a lawyer, and not a lawyer like we know today, an expert in the law, in the law of God, was looking to test Jesus. And he basically says, oh, so what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And if I can paraphrase, Jesus says to him, well, you're the expert in the law. Why don't you tell me? And the lawyer goes on to tell him this very succinct summary that we see there. In verse 27, the lawyer says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he gleaned that out of the Old Testament as a whole, but especially in Deuteronomy 6 and in Leviticus 19. You can see that exact verbiage there. And Jesus says to him, you've answered correctly. Do that and you're going to live. You're going to inherit eternal life if you do that. And it's kind of funny because Jesus then goes on to tell the story of what it actually means to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the Good Samaritan story. And basically he's saying, all right, if you can do that, you're in good shape. Because if you've walked with God for any length of time, or if you look in the mirror, you realize we can have a lot of really good intentions and good desires. But over time, we realize that my heart's deceitful. Okay? I lie. I lie to myself. There's times I've lied to people I love. It's like, what is wrong with me? And that's a part of what being in the scriptures and being before the Lord is to show us how much we need him. How much we need him that we get to this point that when we are broken, okay, he's turning around and saying, because we turn to him and say, God, I'm broken, and realize that there he is longing for us to run up the road, for him to run down the road as we come back to him. And we turn to him. Okay. But to know that this has been his desire all along, that we can love him fully and that we can love each other. And that's going to work itself out in many, many different ways. And it's not easy. It's very messy. Sometimes you're like, I'm not sure this looks like love or feels like love. And that's why we try to get God's perspective. You know, there's times that his love is disciplinary. Okay. But when he disciplines, it's from perfect love. At the same time, There's opportunities where he's just so merciful, and I get overwhelmed with, I didn't deserve any of this. I deserve to get beat. And instead, he's being merciful. You know, he knows when to do that and how to do it perfectly. We as humans do our best, and as parents often we'll try to do our best. As leaders, we try to do our best, okay, and try to hear God on this. But he's perfect in how he does that. But we're going to still press on and press forward. You know, there's the verses in John 13 where Jesus says to his disciples, I'm actually giving you a new commandment. I want you to love each other, okay? Because when you love each other, people are going to know that you are really my disciple, okay? Because loving each other is not something that, I'll say, naturally happens. What naturally happens is we are self-preserving. We want to we want to preserve things that take care of ourselves. And if you've been a parent or you've been in a situation where you've actually fallen in love with somebody, what that is a taste of this giving love that God has, right? For God so loved the world that he gave. His love compels him to give. So when we're most like him, we're actually giving. And that's part of what Jesus was saying here. I'm telling you guys to love each other. You're going to have to give to each other and give from each other. But in doing that, you're going to validate all the claims that he made. So I am going to do all things. I'm going to ask our leadership to continue to do everything that we can to create an environment that we can love each other. There's lots of different ways that it shows itself. It's not, it's different. And we're called with our different gifts to exercise it differently. And I'll get to that as I pull things together here. But some of us, it's our time. Okay? We can give of our time and love with our time. Others of us, you know, we may, you know, give financially. And other ways that we just share parts of ourselves. And, you know, Jesus actually, you know, goes on in John 15. Let me bring myself there for a moment. Because it's in John 13 that he was calling them to love. Right, that new commandment is in John 13:34, right? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, you're to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And then he's going on in chapter 14. Over at verse 15, he actually says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And by verse 23, you know, there he's saying, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. And by the time we get over to chapter 15, verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And he goes on to talk about laying down his life for each other, laying down his life, you know, for us. And it's this powerful, probably the most powerful paradox that God has put into motion, is that as we give, as we love, in whatever ways he's calling us to give, we somehow receive, pressed down, flowing over. It multiplies. And I know for myself, I have to kind of try to be honest and say, Lord, when am I giving? When am I doing? Because I know I'm going to get something better back, you know? And you know, we've heard those things twisted where someone's like, you know, if you'll give $1,000, God's going to give you 100-fold, okay? We got to hear God on all these things. And I want to ask God to keep my motives pure. Okay? But he can't help it. It's part of who he is, that when we, you know, honestly and with pure motive give in any way, he gives back. Okay? It may or may not be in the same exact form. Often it is. Sometimes if you sowed in a certain way, you end up getting some of that back abundantly. Abundantly. He's a God of multiplication. He takes that one seed, grows a plant from it that has multiple seeds, that each one of those becomes multiple seeds. Okay? He's an exponential growing God. And so there isn't a single thing that you're ever going to give him that, whether you see it now or whether it may be in the ages to come, that don't produce a fruit that's glorious. So there isn't anything. There isn't anything. And I think of Pastor Dave's, one of his favorite scriptures out of Hebrews, that God is not going to overlook anything that you've done in service to his saints. God doesn't owe anybody anything. And here, as we learn and continue to grow in what does it look like to love each other, we're sowing into the most fertile ground there ever could be. So enjoy it, look forward to it, and I know many of us can testify of how God's done that. And We've been a part of this fellowship for a little over 15 years now. And I can tell you, and especially now from my most recent perspective, I get to see some of the way you all act this out. Some of it you do, you may or may not know, but even little things. And one example I'm going to give you guys is relative to Maddie and Vadim. And they're not here this week. They're coming home tomorrow. And I feel a little bit funny saying it. It's a little bit easier to say with them not here. But Vadim will be listening to this online, I'm sure. So, hi, Vadim. We know you're listening. Okay. We miss you. We love you. See you soon. Okay. Maddie's dad went home to be with the Lord a couple of weeks ago. And just in and around that, whether it was the weeks preceding, just the amount of love that they have felt from this fellowship is really powerful. And to them, it's a continued testimony. And I can tell you, to Maddie's mom, it's been a testimony. Whether it be phone calls or visits or, you know, even things like, think about it from this perspective. Here, they come from Romania. Obviously a much different place with the desire and anticipation of living out their retirement years with a lot more freedom and flexibility, you know, only to have him be here less than 2 years before he passes at 59, you know, relatively young. So this is what they were hoping for, and it's obviously not, you know, what the Lord had. Yet in that and through that, you know, some of you have given and brought meals to them that they've appreciated. We've had folks volunteer to take them back and forth to the airport. You know, and this is Newark Airport. You know, you're going up there near New York. Okay? This wasn't Philly. Not that that's that much different, but you got to go up on the turnpike there. So we appreciate things like that. They've seen that. Other folks have said, they're a young family. This has got to be expensive for them. And it is. And I know that most of, you know, what they had to do, they put on a credit card and they're going to be paying it off. But someone came and said, hey, is the church going to give anything towards, you know, towards that? And I'm like, I you know what? I appreciate you suggesting that. We'll definitely think about whether that's a way that we can show some love. And he said, well, if you could, whatever you do, just add $400 to it and let me know. Okay? Because they probably have $3,000 or $4,000 in charges that they had to, you know, do to take care of this. It's just amazing. It's amazing. And it's because God's put these things in your heart, and you just do it. And Jesus says, by this, all men will know that you're my disciples. So it's just, it's one small example I could probably come up with. Not probably, I know I can come up with many, many more. It's just a recent one that I'll say, as the pastor, I appreciate hearing and seeing it in motion. And there's even, you know, there's other folks that say, hey, did you find anybody to do this yet or do that yet? Yep, we're good on that, thank you. Okay. Keep doing that. That's what God wired you to do. Just keep doing it. That's the type of stuff that testifies that Jesus is Lord. Amen? So I appreciate that. The second word, and I'll bring these other two together rather quickly, but something, the other thing that's going to continue to mark us is that we're going to be learners. Okay? We never stop learning. You never want to stop learning. You never arrive. New Life is a church, and will continue to be a church where being a Jesus follower is an activity. It's something that you keep doing. We're not passive participants. You know, I don't want you showing up at church to see this week's show. Okay? Whether it be the worship team, whether it be myself or anybody else up here to, you know, entertain or minister in that way. Now, personalities are great. I love all different personalities and ways that God does that. But we don't come for that. We come to hear God and say, God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? How do I act differently? What things should I be rethinking through? And that takes active learning on all of our parts. And the Bible calls us being a disciple, a learner. Okay? I appreciate there was some things that came out a few years back about, you know, we're not here to be Jesus fans. You know, we're just, hey, you know what? I'm going to go be a Jesus fan. I'm going to clap, you know, in the right times and go, hey, the Jesus stuff is good. Let me go back to, you know, the rest of my life tomorrow. We are called to be followers, and some of these scriptures I'm going to share with you in a moment are deep. But when you meet somebody, especially men, but overall, when you meet somebody new, it doesn't take very long before the conversation turns to, so what do you do? What do you do? And we often answer that as some function of our occupation, right? And I was thinking about this, okay? So somebody asked me what I do. And maybe I might say, I work for Wawa, or I pastor a church. Okay? You know, or, you know, whatever your situation is, you're going to say what you do. It's somehow a function of how you make money, right? Possibly how you're contributing to society, how you're adding value. But it's this function of how we're making money. Or if you're retired, what are you retired from? You're retired from actively making money. Right? Hopefully, you're making passive money, and that's why you can retire. Okay, but it just got me bothered. I'm like, you know, if I say to somebody, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a doctor, I'm a teacher, I do this, like, it's a function of how I earn income. And then I heard Jesus say, you cannot serve both God and money. You can't serve God and mammon. So then I'm like, why isn't my first answer all the time to what do I do is I'm a Christian. I'm a Jesus follower. Oh, and I do it at Wawa. You know? Or I do it, you know, at my office. I do it while I drive the bus. I do it where I teach. You know, but I'm a Christian. That's what I do. That's who I am. That's who I'm being. I realize it's kind of awkward. It'd be socially awkward when someone says to you, you know, right, Jenny, they're going to say, so what do you do? And you, instead of saying you're a nurse, you go, I'm a follower and disciple of Christ over here at Atlantic City Mainland Division. It's a little awkward. So we say, okay, well, how might we go about these things? And that's for us to, I'll say, to work out. But I want you to think about that. When somebody says, hey, what do? First thing you say, I'm a Christian. Hey, whether it comes out to your mouth that way or not, that's who we are. Right, because we're following him. We're going to learn how to live that out in all the things that we do. Whether we're serving our family as a full-time, you know, mom, full-time grandmom, full-time dad that takes care of the household issues, or whether we're going out and actually earning money elsewhere. But our desire should continually be to learn. And it's why, you know, here I'm going to continually make sure that our focus is in the scriptures. It's in the scriptures. It's why I'm going to continue to, I'll say, exegete the scriptures and pull them out the way that we do and just look through whole sections. And if we look at, even right now, if you just quickly turn to Matthew 28, and those of you who know your Bibles, okay, Matthew 28 will already be jumping out to you as something that you're familiar with, because we know it is the Great Commission. But what I want you to think about, so you might think the Great Commission, no, that's the launching part of this message, but what I want you to see there in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, and it's kind of neat because we sang this about all authority, right? Jesus is saying that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Make disciples, right? Of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them. Make disciples and teach. That's the action words in this. And I've said this before. When I get overwhelmed with where things are at in the world, I start to think, wait, if we were just making more disciples, okay, if we were just continue to make more disciples, and we can't force people to follow the Lord, okay, but we can teach about him, and we can create the environment where when his spirit opens somebody's eyes, they can turn around and respond. But the emphasis here is that we are to be making and teaching. And so here, that's one of the things I'm going to make sure continues. It's going to be a core of what we do. And as I mentioned, next week I'm going to teach out of one of our Psalms. And I'm seeking the Lord, and I think I have some direction on what book we're going to dive into next as we get into next year. But one of the things I really wanted to, remind us of, as God reminded me, is why it's so important that we stay close to his scriptures. And if you do have your Bible, why don't you take a quick gander over to 2 Timothy, and it's chapter 4. And it was here that Timothy, in this letter that's written by Paul, is being encouraged by Paul in his giftings. And I'm going to refer to another one of those in just a moment. But Paul says to Timothy here in chapter 4, verse 2, he tells him, you know what? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. And here's where I want to focus. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. That sobers me. It sobers me as a teacher, it sobers me as a leader, that, you know what, Lord, we've got to stay in your word. Individually, you've got to stay in his word. We need to literally brainwash ourselves intentionally with what God has shown us to be true, what God's revealed to be true. So that's why we'll continue to learn as we do and learn together by just opening the scriptures. They are alive, sharper than a two-edged sword. They separate truth. They reveal what's right. We probably could just stand up here and read it and just watch God's power move, okay? And as he leads us, we'll continue in that. So as you're learning, there's all kinds of different opportunities to do that. One of the partner ministries that we work with is over at the Love Center, and Pastor Dave teaches over there. There's a school of ministry using some of the materials that Dr. Leon's developed, and several of you have gone through and graduated from there. Several of you are in it now. It's a way to grow as a disciple, okay, and partner with some of our folks right around, right here in our community, and we've been blessed by Dr. Leon's ministry, so we appreciate his sound teaching as well. So lastly, this launching piece, okay? Launching, we usually think of a rocket gets launched. But I want to encourage you that it's in Ephesians 2:10. And if you've got your Bible, I want to turn there. Back a few pages from 2 Timothy. In Ephesians 2:10, all right, we're told, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So when you hear somebody say, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. He really does. Okay? What we do together is we want to unfold that plan and say, Lord, what is it? What are these things you have for me to walk in? And you uncover them as you go. And you start to see, God, what are some of the desires that he's put in you? What are some of the needs that are around you? What are some of the things that you just have an aptitude to do and you find yourself drawn to? These are things that God's calling you to. And this is a place where you can learn and practice. And there's going to be times where, you know, you may see somebody doing something and go, I'm not sure that's their thing yet. Give them time. Let them grow in it. If you think God's leading you to be a musician, grow in that, practice, get some lessons, talk to Pastor Dave, see if there's a way to work into the worship team. If you're a drummer, I'm telling you, yes, he is calling you to be a part of the worship team. but God will continue to meet our needs in all those regards. Okay? It was also in 2 Timothy, a chapter or two before where we just read, where Paul was exhorting Timothy that he needed to fan into flame the gift that had been given to him. Right? It's in 2 Timothy 1:6. He says, "For this reason I remind you, fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And he's referring, obviously, to the specific gift of Timothy's. But all of us, all of you, me included, God's Holy Spirit has been deposited into you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you. It's in me. Okay? Jesus said, you're going to do greater things than I did. I am still scratching my head on that one. Okay? But those were his words. Okay? Greater. Greater, because he knew the deposit that he was putting into us. He knew what that could be. Okay? There is potentiality in each one of us that would literally blow our minds. And we're only scratching the scratch here. But this is going to be an environment where you can learn it. You can practice it. You can eventually launch out into whatever it may be. If it's musical, if it's who knows what it might be. It could be all kinds of ways of serving and caring for people. And when you do that, you're loving them. When you do that, you're reflecting that Jesus is who he said he is. You're obeying his commandments. It's a beautiful thing what God's called us to. It's incredible. It really is incredible. As a human being, I think, okay, if I had a, you know, do it, what would I do? You know, for one, I always said I would have had Jesus, his crucifixion and resurrection being on video or something. You know, so we could just, oh yeah, there it is, it's obvious. Hey, he's so much smarter than that. He knew. He knows that he wants our faith and our faith is to be pure, yet he will come and make himself so real to each one of us, should we call on him, that it would be more real than if we were able to watch it over on video. Okay? Hey. The future that God has for us is powerful, and we're going to keep walking in it, and I'm really excited about it. I know, because of who God is, that there's going to be a time, and I appreciated Nick calling us all a dream, Okay? There isn't anything that happens, okay, where God has not first birthed it and starts to just bring it to fruition. So I want to encourage you all to dream for yourself, to dream for this body, and say, all right, Lord, what do you have? You've given us a beautiful, wonderful facility. We want to use it to its maximum to glorify you, okay? To glorify you. And it really does all begin with surrendering ourselves to the Lord. All right, so we're coming to a new year. It's usually a time when people say, oh, I'm going to start doing this more. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to, you know, not eat this. I'm going to eat this, you know, all these different things that we do. I'm maybe going to exercise this year. It's my every year. This is the year I'm going to start exercising again. So, hey, but everything starts with continuing to surrender ourselves to Christ. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me, and I'm going to just invite all of us to draw close to the Lord. So, Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The name that is above all names. And we know that you are in the process of making all things new. You are bringing all things under his authority, making all things his footstool. And yet, in the process of that, you, in your wisdom, have given this ministry of reconciliation, of reconciling people to you. You've given it to us, your body. Lord, we don't want to take that lightly. We don't want to take that lightly. So to those of you who are gathered this morning, I'm just going to ask, if you've never surrendered to Christ, if you've never surrendered to Christ, you can do so this morning. You can do so. For those of you who've done it before, there is a continual surrender. So just say again, say in your heart to the Lord, Lord, I surrender. Not my way, but your way. Right, John the Baptist came preaching the fact that we needed to turn from the ways, turn from what we were doing, and turn to God. Turn to God. If you're living a life that you know your back is to God, you can turn. And when you turn, what you see is your Father is running towards you because he's been longing. He's been waiting. He looks every day because he wants to throw a party for you if you'll come back. If you'll come back. So in this quiet, I invite you to open your heart to the Lord. Ask him to continually fill you. Ask him to continually reveal his truth, to continually fill you with his Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask, if there anybody is here that's never, for at any point in their life, invited Christ to take his rightful place as their Lord, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up. To put your hand up. If you're putting your hands up in worship, that's okay. But if you need to stick your hand up and say, I need to follow Christ, and I've never been clear about that. Right? Today is a day that you can be clear. Today is a day that you can be clear. Jesus has died for you. He died for me, knowing that my sins were keeping me from God. But his love overcame the multitude of my sin so that I can be right with God. So if anybody else wants to say, I need to follow Christ, put your hand up and you can put it back down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray and ask your blessing over this congregation. We will continue to move forth loving you and loving each other and fulfilling the great things that you have prepared in advance for us to do. So, Father, we love you and thank you. I ask that you would bless this church, bless everyone here and their families. The same blessing that Moses prayed when he said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And all God's people said, amen, amen. If you need